Thanks and welcome again. I want to officially welcome everyone yesterday. Before we get started, I'm like a little kid. I still, every time I see Archie Griffin, I feel like I'm asking for his autograph. I was hired here in 1986 as a graduate assistant. Earl Bruce was the head coach. I never played offense really in high school. I did a little bit in college. I played defensive back. Tim Hinton was a graduate assistant, and I got an opportunity to come up here and talk to Earl Bruce and a guy named Tom Lichtenberg about being a GA. And I came up, I'm allowed to say this now because things have worked out okay, but I went up and I met with Earl Bruce and Tim Hinton. I wanted to be the defensive back graduate assistant because that's what I played. And Tim grabbed me right before I walked into Coach Bruce's office, and he said, "Hey, listen, take the tight end GA." And I said, "I've never played tight end. I don't know shit about playing anything about tight end." He goes, "Listen to me, I'll help you. Take the tight end GA because you actually get to coach. Because as defensive GA, as a secondary, you're making copies, you're stuffing envelopes, you're making Xerox copies and all that." So I mean, as I'm walking into Earl Bruce's office, he's sitting at his desk, he says, "Come in," has no idea what my name is, and he says, "What position are you looking for?" And he says, "The tight end graduate assistant." He goes, "What do you know about tight ends?" And he was real busy. He didn't obviously have much time to talk to me. And I said, "Coach, I spent my whole life studying tight end play. I know tight end play." And I mean, someone called him, and he said, "Okay, you got it." And he leaves, and I go, "Holy shit, I'm a tight end guy." So that's a quick story, too. But I'm very in awe when I see my brothers come back here. And it's not without deepest sincerity when I say my brothers. In 1986, I was my first introduction to Ohio State football as on the inside. And we had some great players. I want to recognize a couple of guys real fast. I know you're going to hear from Chris Carter here in a minute, but legends of Ohio State football and true brothers. I want Terry White to stand up for us. Terry White. And in 1985, Ohio State beat then number one Iowa, and Terry White separated a football from an Iowa offensive player. I thought he killed me when I saw him do that. So Terry White. Johnny Woolridge, a great tailback here at Ohio State. And I know there's plenty of Pittsburgh when I was here and some other guys. And then obviously the greatest receiver ever to play football, college, or pro, Hall of Famer, Chris Carter. So I want to get started. We only got 25 minutes, and I think I got a pretty good message for you. I think I spoke on this when I first was hired in 2012. But it's a little deeper to me now because it's worked. And it's not theory anymore, it's testimony. And remember, this is coming, when I speak to you, it's a very humble approach I take because I'm speaking to you not as a coach at Ohio State, but the father, proud father of a young man that plays football in the great state of Ohio. And every Friday night when we're home, I get in a police car, they take me to go watch a great football program with great coaches, Bishop Watterson, right down the street, so I get to live my dream. And I get to do it for a few more years. And that's what I get to watch once again, to watch Nate play football in the great state of Ohio. So in 2011, I took a year off from coaching for a lot of reasons. That's not what this conversation's about. But it gave me a chance to reflect. And reflection has always been a sign of weakness, I was taught. You don't always look backwards, you're always looking forward, because if you're looking backwards, I don't necessarily agree with that now as I'm a little older. However, I had a chance to look back on some of the great teams. And I've been very blessed to coach some of the best teams, maybe arguably in college football history. And there's always a common denominator I found out as I studied other teams. I studied the Patriots. And my year off, I went and worked for ESPN. And I was working for ESPN, but I was really studying other programs. I could not get it out of my mind. I resigned in December. By February, middle of February, my wife and I guess you got a lot of time on your hand when you retire, and we're out for a walk. Got a great job at ESPN. I said, "I don't think I can do this." And she looked at me and she goes, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "I got to go back, I think." And she goes, "You're out of your mind." And I said, "I just miss more than anything. You miss winning, of course, but you miss building the team." And I started trying, and I would sit and doodle at night, because once again, I didn't have much to do. And I'd start thinking about these great teams. And I started drawing these circles. And all the great teams had this common denominator. It wasn't fast, it wasn't vertical jump, it wasn't throwing, catching, running. It wasn't a 3-4 defense or a bare defense. It was something that I consider the elite group was very high. And so I'm going to give you the 10-80-10 discussion, which you might have heard before. I apologize, but we're in it right now. We are in it right now. If you walk in our weight room, you're going to see a big sign. It's a placo. And in that placo is a smaller circle, then a bigger circle, and then a peripheral circle. And that's what I live by. I nonstop doodle personnel. And I sit there and write their names and say, where do they fit? And the upper 10% is this, it's elite. And when I say elite, it doesn't mean Joey Bosa or Zeke Elliott or Chris Carter. That always helps. But I've been around extremely talented guys that are far from elite. As a matter of fact, they're coach killers. They're cancerous. They cause problems on your team. So elite to me are three qualities: self-discipline, self-respect, and an incredible work ethic. Elite does not mean run fast. I think that helps. As a matter of fact, I know that helps. If you throw a 20-yard out cut on a dime, a field out on a dime, that helps. If you're Alex Smith and you have the other elite characteristics. So once again, elite is that. The middle group, or the 80%ers, is average. They're basically average in everything. Their average work ethic, average self-discipline, average self-respect. I put myself in that category. At times I'm elite, but a lot of times I'm very average. And then the final group is the bottom 10, and I put that defiant, disinterested. So please, once again, I don't do much PowerPoint, so we're gonna go back to that on several occasions. So I'm gonna ask you questions, so pay attention. Upper 10% is what? Elite. Three characteristics are what? Self-discipline, self-respect, incredible work ethic. The middle 80 are average. The bottom 10 are called defiant and disinterested. So here's what I miss most of all. This is every organization. I could have 100 people stand up, and if I really, really knew you, we would separate you. There'd be 10% elite. There'd be 10 of you. You know, they always get the best looking girls. They always get the best jobs. They get the best grades. They're just different. I have a daughter like that. She's just different. She gets great grades. It's unbelievable. Then I got, you know, another ones who have to work for everything they get. They're extremely talented. They have extremely gifted as far as self-discipline, self-respect, and work ethic. And mark this next to that group. They are the most powerful people in any organization. It's not the head coach. It's not Jamie Dimon at J.P. Morgan Chase. It's not Roger Goodell. And these are all conversations I've had with these people. It's the elite, powerful people. Why? Everybody wants to be around the elite. Our strength coach, he loves to go strength training. If Tim Tebow walks in the weight room, it's fun to train Tim Tebow. I got news, Donald Duck can train Tim Tebow. That's not what we pay you to do. Same with me as a head coach. I want to have lunch with someone. I want to have lunch with John Simon and Tim Tebow. But I'm not paid to do that. That's called fun. Our athletic director doesn't say, hey, have a great time. He says, win every game you play, graduate your players, follow the rules, make Ohio proud. How do you do that? Is it spending time with the elite? The answer is no. That's fun. They don't call you coach to coach the elite. I just said they're without you, they're fine. The next group is the 80. They're the ones that need us. They're the ones that they would call you coach. So a great story, back in 2012, I'm hired here at Ohio State. Every morning I come in, John Simon's working out at 6 a.m. John Simon from Moody High School. Him and Tim Tebow are the two toughest human beings I've ever been around on a football field. As far as doing everything right, toughness, relentless, you have to shoot him to stop him. And John Simon, he's in there killing himself. I mean, screaming, yelling, training, having a weight coach help him, but he's by himself. And so I'd watch that going on. Coach Mick and I share the same philosophy about the 10-80-10. I called John over one morning. I said, John, you're done lifting weights here in the morning. Not allowed to do that anymore. His reaction would like to kill us, right? Say, well, what the F are you talking about? I'm going to come here and train. I said, John, you're not allowed. Because I need you. You're the most powerful people in an organization. So we need to harness your energy. We need to have you attack someone within the 80. We pay our coaches a lot of money. There's a lot of successful coaches out here. I refuse to believe that if we don't take our laser lights, our focus, and put them on that 80%, we can grow that 10% into a 20, 30, 35%. I've been a part of three national championship teams. Different quarterbacks, different offensive line, different style of defenses. The one characteristic is and I did it last year after in 2014, that circle is 10%, it grew to 35% elite on our team. 35%. How'd that happen? It happened, number one, because we harnessed the power of the elite. So I do that all the time now. Sam Hubbard's in the world, Tyquan Lewis in the world, JT Barrett's in the world, these incredible, gifted guys. And I would say to them, just like T would look at me before practice in the spring, I'm not afraid because I'm going to get one today. And you know exactly what I was talking about. He was going to get one. What do you think? He's going to go get an 80. He's going to go get that young man and teach him how to be an elite player. So once again, back to our strength coach. We got great strength coaches. So I told John Simon, you need to bring someone in and lift with him. Who do you think John Simon brought in? Are we dead today? Brain dead here. Who did he bring in? Someone said it. No. Yeah, JT, he brought in another player that was what? Elite. Why? That's fun. They go kill themselves. They get stronger, bigger. They have the same discipline, same work ethic. But did we build a team? Once again, go back to your job description. Maybe yours is different than mine. Maybe your just job description is have a hell of a time. And then go home. I'd like to meet your AD and say, that's a hell of a deal, man. You just don't worry about building a team. Don't worry about that 80, but have a hell of a time. If I'm going to have a hell of a time, I'm going to go hang out with Chris Carter. That's easy. Who does not want to do that? But how's that helping Ohio State win? In case you missed our practice, we don't have a very big elite group right now. We don't. But we got time. We're not playing tomorrow. I got a bunch of good coaches. I got an incredible weight staff. And I'm on their tails nonstop. We have to increase the size of the elite. And how do you do that? I'm going to give you some examples here in a second. Fast forward to the bottom 10. So you got the upper 10 is called the what again? Upper 10 is what? Elite. Characteristics of elite. Go. Self-respect. That's not when you're, that means when you're not looking, when your coach is not looking, you respect yourself. You're not getting in trouble on High Street because you have self-respect. You're not around people that are going to cause problems because you're self-respect. Number two is what? Self-discipline. That means doing right all the time. You're a very disciplined person. And then the last characteristic is what? Incredible. Bizarre work ethic. Like we tell you to do a set of 10, you do a set of 20. Like a John Simon. The bottom 10%, we call them defiant disinterested. And I've made this mistake in my career. I believe everybody gets a chance. Don't believe that much anymore. Once you prove to us you have no interest and you're defiant, you're done. At Ohio State, you're finished. Forget communication, we all have this little pie shape. Well, that's your energy source, right? I have a wife, I have three children. I'm the head coach at Ohio State. I'm deep in my faith. Other than that, I like to play a little golf once in a while. That occupies a whole circle. If I'm spending time on a defiant, disinterested person that just doesn't get it, I don't want our staff, and I tell them, once you get in that bottom rung, you got to go. Someone will take you probably because maybe you run fast or jump high, but you're not going to be here because you're killing us. You're draining our energy, and I told our staff to do what? Focus all our laser lights, all our energy on the 80%. So I have 9 coaches, I have a bunch of support staff, great staff, and myself. If we focus on that 80, what might happen? The elite might start to grow. All of a sudden you wake up, you got about 12% elite. All of a sudden your practices are getting better, and you're like, damn, this is going pretty good. All of a sudden the energy in the weight room, you don't have those dullards coming in 2 minutes late. You don't have people with that look on their face like they hate it. All of a sudden energy picks up, and it starts to swell. And that same team that lost to Virginia Tech get a little better each week. And you're saying, wait a minute, well, look what's happening. And I keep challenging our coaches, go get Stevie Miller, go get Curtis Grant, get Zeke Elliott, he's not there yet, go get him. What does that mean, go get him? Go coach him. And use that incredible group of people who are the most powerful people in an organization, and that is who? The elite. Go get JT Barrett, go to lunch with this kid, teach him, educate him, that's what we do. And watch what happens to your football team. You go from being very average to much better, and then obviously the best three that I've ever been around, 35% of our team. I didn't say run fast, all of them. Matter of fact, Nick Surak, one of my favorite players of all time. You know how many snaps he took for us in 14? Zero. He's a walk-on. He's in med school right now. He's the same kid you might have heard about
I gave him a scholarship. His dad called me and said, he's never going to play here. He's a little guy. But he's elite. Self-discipline, self-respect, incredible work ethic. And our players loved him. He was our best scout team corner I've ever been around. Every day, whether he's injured or not, he made practice better. And I called his dad and said, you have a scholarship to Ohio State. You know what he told me? He said, I can afford that, coach. Give that to someone who needs it. And we're very grateful and humble that you gave us that. That's elite. So go grab Nick Surak. Let's go meet with this kid that maybe didn't come from a great background. Maybe he didn't come from a very good high school where selfishness was okay. Maybe they came where being a jerk on the practice field, being late, not going to class, putting shit in your body. Maybe that's okay. And you can complain about it all you want. And once again, if you have an AD that listens to you and says, oh, I understand, that's okay, then I'd probably get another job because that's not a very good AD. The AD ought to be telling you, go build a team. That's what I pay you to do. Go build a team. Don't complain to me. Build a team. Go help that kid change. And your answer to the AD should, I got the answer. I'm going to go work, I'm going to harness my powerful people. I'm going to take my John Simon. So John Simon comes in the next day. Who's lifting with him? Another elite. And I watch it. It's really cool. We had a ball watching it. They just beat the piss out of each other, working out, veined up, big arms. They leave, get their shake. And I said, that's not what I'm, John. And he's like jacked up and he looks at me. And I said, that's not what we're talking about. Coach Murray and I said, no, it's not what we mean. And I went into great detail about the 10-80-10. You know, he started bringing in a guy named Ryan Shazier. Ryan Shazier was as 80 as you get. He could have gone either way. Great family, great person. Obviously, the number 8 or 10 pick overall in the draft. A guy that played as a freshman, but kind of a selfish guy, kind of a guy, and I told him to his face. But John Simon started working with this kid named Ryan Shazier. Ryan Shazier saw all the good things that are happening, the work ethic, the habits, the way this guy lived his life, and he started to become one of those elite. And then the other guy started to get another one and another one. A coach got another one. And then all of a sudden this thing started growing and growing and growing, and magical things happened here at Ohio State. So let's go back, how do we do that? So how do you as a coach? I just told you, number one, Roman numeral number one, harness the power of the elite. Have meetings with them, challenge them, go get you, be safe, go get him. John Simon, get Shazier. We need him. He's a 4'4", 40 guy. He's gonna be our starting will linebacker, but he's to himself too much. Make him be part of us. And he did obviously a great job. Zach Bourne became elite. Zach Bourne was not an elite guy, but he had this leadership skills that are unbelievable. Tim Hinton, the guy that stands up here, I challenged him, go get Zach, get him. And by the second game of the year, guess what happened? We went from the most selfish player, one of the most selfish guys I've ever been around. This chokes you up when you think about this story. Zach Bourne, one of the most selfish guys I've ever been around, defiant to a point. Didn't like leadership, didn't like the establishment, didn't like the people in power, the guys in charge. Certainly didn't like me. We didn't get along very good. We didn't do things the way he wanted, which is fine. We never asked you, Zach. That's not the point here. The point is we need you. You have leadership skills. People follow you. You want to be an ass? We got a team of ass, and that's not going to help us. That's not going to help us at all. Tim Hinton, with his great skills that he has, one is he makes things right. He fixes things. This same guy, Zach Bourne, that was defiant in the weight room, defiant to the head coach. 2 weeks into the season, we had a great meeting about rip your chest open, let us coach you, quit evaluating, or it's not going to work. Became arguably one of the best leaders in Ohio State football history. 4 weeks after being a selfish guy, our linebackers are decimated by injuries. We're in the middle of an undefeated season. We're not playing for a bowl game. We were ineligible. We had probation stuff. And I went to him 5 minutes before practice started. And I said, Zach, I need you. We're out of linebackers. That shouldn't happen here, but it's happened. At Ohio State University, you haven't played linebacker since your junior year in high school. I need you, man. I need you to go play linebacker. I understand it's a Tuesday, and this might not look good, but I need you to play linebacker. 2 tears that developed in his eyes. Same selfish guy. He said, Coach, I love this team. I love this staff. I love this university so much. Just like, it sounds like, come on, Coach, did he really say that? He really said that. I'll do anything to help this team win. I looked at Coach Fickell. I said, you got your linebacker right here. Well, then by period four, that was period one, period four, Zach Bourne was a starting middle linebacker at Ohio State. And did he play like an NFL middle linebacker? No. Did he raise the level of play of our defense because he's elite personnel and get other guys to raise? Absolutely. So for the outside person that's not here, you can probably say that's pretty cool. For someone who just heard a story, there's nothing cool about that. It's about a Tim Hinton. It's about a Mickey Moradi. It's about a John Simon, a JT Barrett. What the hell was Cardale Jones doing in that national championship game? Cardale Jones never played. Why? He also, what, drank some magical Kool-Aid and had three great games? No, he became elite. He became elite because JT Barrett is so over the top elite, and Tom Herman did such a great job. They brought him to here. And what happened? Magical happened. Magic happened. So Roman numeral one is harness the power of the elite. Number two, empower the 80. How do you do that? Be creative. We have food committees here. I have ring committees. We have to wear sometimes black jerseys or certain color socks or things that I could give a damn about. But obviously kids care. So when I put together these ring committees, it'd be very easy for me to put Tebow and Simon on them, right? Why? That's fun. I'd go in there and talk to them about elite, right? But Gene Smith wants me to build a great team. So one of the things, these things that we try to establish around here, this is, you don't rent Ohio State. You don't rent this football team. This is not one and done. We try to give you ownership of the team. So any committees, anytime I want to listen to players talk, I bring in some of those 80s. And I say, tell me of your thoughts about the team. I want to hear, this is your team, help us. That gives a player a sense of what? Empowerment or ownership. A great quick story. I get hired at Illinois State for $6,000 a year after I left Ohio State. I'm watching a Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson fight. Whenever that was, in 87, I think. But my first job, Illinois State, I had a nasty, bullshit little apartment, like a guy making $6,000 should have, right? And we're having a couple pops, like guys do that age back then, and you're watching a fight on my little TV, and do you remember when Buster Douglas hit him? Mike Tyson goes down, and that shouldn't have happened. Everybody, that little nasty apartment like that, jump up, knock shit over, and all of a sudden I look, there's a hole about that big in the wall in my apartment. And I look over, keep watching it, I don't own this, so everybody leaves, what do you think I do? I slide, first of all, a little terrible couch, right? Like people $6,000 a year should have. What do you think I did? I nudge the couch over a little bit and I cover the hole. Because I don't own it, I don't care, it's none of my business, because I'm gonna be out of there anyways, I don't worry about it. Fast forward 2 years later, I get hired at Colorado State for the grand sum of $19,000 a year. Colorado State, I buy our first house for $78,000. Real little house, but it's beautiful. And I own it now, right? What would have happened if that same guy kicked a hole in my wall at my house? First of all, that guy wouldn't be in my house. And second of all, if he ever kicked a hole in it, we're stopping what we're doing and you're fixing it. What's the point here? If you don't have ownership within your program, I can guarantee you got a bad program. If you don't have ownership within your program, forget about the 10-80-10, you're probably getting your ass kicked up and down the field. Forget about the kickoff drills. Forget about spread versus eye and all that. It's not working very well. And for some of you who I know have great programs, and I've not had some great programs once in a while, because it doesn't always work out that way. But boy, you better work at it. You better somehow get them to, and Jamie Dimon, the CEO of Chase JP Morgan, spoke to our team last year in this comment, I don't want people talking about our, this is quote unquote, quote, I don't want people talking about our company in the third person. We own this company, it's your company. If I hear that, we have to let you go. Because if you look at your team, your unit, as a one and done, as a drive-by, as I'm renting, I can guarantee you what that program looks like. I've seen it. I've seen units where there's not ownership. I've seen coaches not do a good job of getting their players to own something. And then I've seen the opposite. I've seen our linebacker, probably what Coach Fickell does with our linebackers, arguably the best I've ever seen. You're talking about a unit that has complete ownership in everything they do. Why do they get good grades? Do all of them in that group want to get great grades? Hell no. But they have to, because they don't want, they own that unit. Do all of them not smoke dope and do stupid ass things like a lot of people do? No, everybody, I imagine there's certain people want to go do that. Why don't they? Because they feel that they own or they have ownership in this unit. So the first thing is empower them. Empower them. Give them ownership. What's that mean? Everybody's got your own little ways of doing that. Remember, it is important to a young player what color socks they wear. Don't care. I don't care. I don't care what color we wear. But I ask certain kids to say, and they'll tell me, and now they feel that they own that a little. That's just one small example. I don't really care what we eat. I just want it to be good. But we have kids that get involved, and I ask our strength coach, who's my right-hand man in this type of thing, to help us out. So number one is what? Empower them. Number two is mastery. You as a leader of a unit, of a group, of a team, of an organization, they have to believe that you can make them great. Every player that signs a scholarship at Ohio State thinks he's a first rounder. They better, or we don't really want you. Now, they don't turn out, all of them turn out. This year we have a bunch that are, five or six of them. But every player wants that. You lose respect from that group of players if they look at you as a leader, and deep in their heart, they don't believe you can get them where they need to go. So if you walk in my office, I walk into our position coach's office, I better see, and I use Coach Fickell a lot because the admiration I have for him as a coach, you walk in, you see Bobby Carpenter, you see A.J. Hawk, you see James Laurinaitis, you see Chris Spielman, you see these great players, linebackers, guys that he developed, guys he's coached. Why does he have to have those in there? Yeah, it makes him feel good, I guess, but once again, I don't care if he feels good. I want Darren Lee, Josh Perry, I want Curtis Grant, I want Jerome Baker, Dante Booker to come walking in, seeing this guy, a former Buckeye, who knows what he's doing, but everything behind him is what? It's testimony he knows what he's doing. That son of a bitch is a great coach. Look who he's coached. Look at that. So when he says do something, do it. So once again, this conversation is about how to enhance the 80, to make him more elite. The number one thing was empower him. Number two is mastery. You come in my office, there's picture of Heismans and presidents of United States, championship trophies. Do I do it because I like to look at it? Yeah, I guess. But once again, Gene Smith does. It's really important for you to feel good today. Never said that to me. I do that because when I call a kid in the 80 in, which I do daily, I want them to look and say, whoa, you mean if I do what you ask you to do, we can do some of these cool things that you guys have done in the past. So you have to create that. Everybody here has had some success of some kind. Let that person know that if you follow my plan, it is infallible. It does work. So I go from being an 80 to what? I start itching up the way. Get up to, and I start getting harnessed, that power harness. I start believing ownership in the program. I start believing this coach can make me great. Now you're getting really close. You're getting close to what? That son of a bitch becoming elite. And you got one. And one matters. Because then you get one, that's another powerful guy. You might get you two. You get you two, maybe you'll get you four. And then all of a sudden, get ready, you're going to start winning a bunch of football games. Not because of you ran the zone read versus the off-tackle power, but because you got a bunch of players that believe in you, that believe in each other. And it's kind of old school. It's kind of silly, isn't it? They probably actually love each other, too, which is kind of the mission of all. The final way is, first of all, harness power of the elite. Number below that, you have empower them, give them ownership of a program. Below that, mastery. They must believe in you, that you can make them great. And then final one, which is true, it motivates a lot of us. It motivates me. When I see my Buckeyes over there, it motivates me. It's called fear. It's called fear. And in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with that. One of the reasons I work so damn hard, I don't want to let those cats down over there. I grew up watching those guys, man. When I see Archie Griffin, I'm not kidding. I see Archie Griffin, I want to get his autograph. I love this place that much because I grew up here. I get to park my car, walk by a Woody Hayes statue. That scares the piss out of me. I don't want to let that guy down. And some people can giggle about that. I'm not giggling. I don't want to let him down. I see Luke Fickell, Jeff Uhlenhake, and Mike Vrabel, who used to be on our staff, and I don't really tell them that much, but I see them. They played here. I wasn't good enough to play here. But this is all I knew growing up. So I'm motivated by what? Fear. Fear. I don't want to screw this thing up, so I'm going to go work my balls off today and get my coaches going, get everybody going, because we can't let people down. Not everyone is raised that way. I was lucky I was raised that way. maybe over extreme. I'm some people say paranoid about a lot of stuff, because I am. But not everybody's raised that way. So is it your job as an educator to teach guys to make them? You're going to lose your scholarship. You're going to lose your starting spot. You're going to embarrass your family someday if you don't give us more. Is there something wrong with that? Some people might think there is. We don't. We don't. It's called honest conversation. You're letting us down. You're not playing very good. We need more out of you. You had a really bad day to day. You are not going to play here unless you get better. Matter of fact, you better get going. You're not going to stay here. Those are all conversations we have with players. Once again, I'm not asking you to agree, because if I want to ask your opinion, I'll say, what's your opinion? I'm not asking you. That's the way we do business around here. Because we want to do what? We want to build a great team. We want to build a great team. We want to build a great team. How do you build a great team? You increase the elite on your team. How do you do that? We just gave you four examples. I am as passionate about that as anything I've ever done in my coaching career. I teach that to our coaches nonstop. My strength coaches, you need to meet them if you haven't met them yet. They are so aligned with our coaching staff and our belief that they do the same things. They're always working, trying to get that 80%. If I ever walk upstairs in our training table and I see two coaches sitting together, I tap them on the shoulder, or else I'll meet them later, say, don't sit with coaches. What's our job description? Coaches, your job is to get the 80% up to the elite. You sitting with another coach, tell me how you just helped doing that. On the practice field, if I see two or three coaches talking, I'll chat with them and say, don't ever talk to another coach on the field. You just spent 9 hours together in a meeting room. Stay after. You get players for 2 hours, coach them. And don't sit with JT Barrett all day long. Once again, who can coach JT Barrett? Honestly, take Donald Duck with the beak and the whole deal, throw a whistle on his neck. I bet JT's fine. Don't need you to do that. The other guys need you. That's why they call you coach. The other thing is called having fun. And once again, under job description, I haven't seen one yet in a contract that says, by the way, have a lot of fun and hang out with the elite people. It says build teams. Build teams. And I'm telling you, just after that year of reflection and you look back at the best teams that I've ever been around, and they haven't all been great. With the teams that I have weren't great, do you think they were slow? No, shit, they can all run. You think we run the same offense, maybe a little different. Defense, I bet we were probably in four down and we played some sort of quarters. Why was that team not very good? Because the elite group was probably 6%. And our coaches did an extremely poor job, and the head coach did an extremely poor job focusing on what's important. And that's development of the 80%. Back to the bottom 10. Is that rude? Is it ruthless? Is it whatever? Whatever it is, that's fine. But I can't ask my coaches to be good husbands, good fathers, spend time in recruiting, in your faith, all the things are important, and develop the 80 when you're worried about this one down here, that it doesn't matter what you do. You've given them every opportunity. It's time for you to go. We're done with you. And this is not a secret here. I would be disappointed if you didn't ask our players, they came in, and are you a 1080? Matter of fact, I asked them to do that. When I meet with me next week, I'm gonna ask them, are you a 10, an 80, or no one better? If you're one of those, then no need to meet. We're good, we're moving on. Because guess who I'm gonna meet with? The 80. My 10, my upper 10 is gonna be real quick. It's not gonna be about, man, you're a great player, and let's talk about your grades, because I know what it is. It's a 3.8, you're gonna graduate with honors, you've got a great job, Josh Perry. I don't need to talk to Josh about what he's doing. He could run for president of the United States and win. That's how good of a person he is. That's how great of just a human. It's ridiculous being around him. But whenever I talk to guys like Josh Perry, Josh, how can you help me with, I'm not gonna give you names, how can you help me with so-and-so? How can you help me get this guy? Because we have to get better as a football team. So I'm gonna finish with how I started. We have a great day, man. Ohio State's such a unique place. We're gonna recognize the Ohio's greatest. I'm honored to be able to introduce three of the greatest football coaches that have ever coached, certainly here at Ohio State. And that's Earl Bruce, my mentor, John Cooper, and Jim Tressel is gonna speak with you. Once again, how many places get to do that? I challenge any university in America to be able to draw back three great coaches like that are all still together and get along and all preach the same things, and that's that Ohio State's bigger than all of us. And then obviously we have some incredible speakers coming on, high school coaches and our coaches that have been told to be have completely open dialogue with anybody here. You could be all doing, Tim Hinton said you could be doing a lot of things on a 70-degree day on a, was it Friday? Like, I could be out at Scarlet playing a little golf, but I'm here talking to you. I enjoy talking to you, so it's great to be here. And once again, not only as a football coach, but as a father of a young man that plays football in this great state of Ohio, I'm humbled to stand before you and tell you I appreciate what you do. There's nothing I like to do better on Friday to get in that car and go watch my son play at a great football program, Watterson, and play football in the greatest state of the country, in the greatest high school football in the country, Ohio. Thank you very much.